Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, "Some of that stuff wasn't junk"? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Junk Refund Show, coming to you live from Rockville, Maryland, where I am sitting in my truck in the parking lot of Roy Rogers, where I just picked up their number 12 three-piece tenders meal with baked beans as the side. If you hear me, you know, munching on some food during this week's episode, that's why. I went with the Barks Diet Root Beer Zero Sugar thing, because I'm a big fan of diet root beer, so I got that. And I had to go with the strawberry shortcake, just because it looks so good on the posters, and I love it. But the reason I came to Roy Rogers is because they are one of the participants in the Upside Network, let's just say. That is the cashback free app you can download to your phone. And then when you want to hit a restaurant, a fast food place, when it's time to get gas, you simply go on the app. You tell it to search the area that you're currently in, and all the offers in their network from these different gas stations and restaurants, etc., will pop up. And you just never know who's going to be on there and what they're going to do. But in your area, there are some that will come in and will basically stay on there for quite a while. So Roy Rogers is one that has been on there, and I just bought it's a $16 meal, and I'm going to get 23% cash back as a result of it. So I'm sitting here going, hey, this is really kind of cool. There is a promo code you can use that you should write down. If you download this app, use this promo code, and the first time you go out to get gas, you're going to get anywhere from an extra 10 to 25 cents a gallon bonus on the app if you use this promo code. I think this promo code is probably the promo code that ties you to my account. They even give me like 1 cent a gallon for every gallon that you buy if you use this promo code. But the promo code gives you more of a cash back, especially the first time you use it, which is great. That code is D like David, S like Sam, the number 9, P like Peter, W like White. So DS, the number 9, PW. That's the promo code you can use that will give you extra cash back on your first purchase. And again, it's a free app. The reason I'm kind of excited about this, I started doing this in February, about February 1st of last year. So this has literally been 1 year that I've been involved in this. And as we speak right now, in my account at Upside, I have $468.19 that has accrued. Now, I can call them or get on my phone anytime, and I can cash that out. They'll send it to my PayPal account, or I can say, give it to me in gift cards from a whole bunch of different places, or just one place for a gift card, whatever. There's lots of different ways to play with this. I'm letting this build up. My plan is to go on a cruise, probably to Bermuda, but I'm not sure yet, to go on a cruise in 2026, and the cash back that I make from the Upside app is going to pay for the cruise. And based on what I did last year and what I've been involved in, you know, going forward, this is, I guess, for the amount that I use it with gas that I buy and going to restaurants, and it even works at some convenience stores too. You get anywhere from 6% back, I've to as high as 39% back with some pizza places that I got. This meal that I just bought for $16, I'm getting 23% cash back. That's going to give me about $3.50 back, something like that, on a $16 purchase. And the people in front of me in line at Roy Rogers went ahead and paid the same price for whatever meal they're getting, and they're not getting any cash back. I'll bet my life on it. But I'm getting 23% cash back just because I connected with their offer before I walked in. You pay for these with credit cards or debit cards. That's how they track it. And when the restaurant is in their network, they know, you know, when you go in and claim the offer, and then once you're done, you go in and say, okay, I paid with this card that's on file in your account. They know what's going on. And then within about 48 hours, you get more cash coming into your account. So as a result of this purchase, I'll be over $470 for this year, which is no small pickings and is kind of a cool thing. And I'm kind of proud of it. I was just really curious to see how much it would be. I still have, I guess, one day to go. And there you go. So again, it's the Upside app, and it is a great thing to do, and it works well, and it's making me, I've made $57.64 so far in January of 2025, and $468.19 so far with what I'm doing. One more time, I'm just going to mention the code, the invite code, or the code that you want to put down as a promo code, that's what word I'm looking for, is DS9PW. D like David, S like Sam, the number 9, P like Peter, W like Walker. And that will give you bonus cash back the first time that you use it, and off you go, and you start making money as well. It's really a no-brainer. You're going to buy gas anyway, probably. If you have a vehicle, you'll be buying gas. Most people eat out at a restaurant once in a while. Some people do it every day, you know, whatever. You might as well be getting some cash back for your efforts, and the Upside app will do that for you. So there you go. So that's issue that was supposed to be issue number 9, but because I just am sitting in the parking lot, and I just ordered this, I thought I would start with, at least go with that from a location standpoint. As you all know, unless you just haven't been on the radio or TV or the internet or whatever, we had a tragedy happen in Washington, D.C. last night around 8:50 p.m. Where a Black Hawk helicopter crashed into an American Airlines PSA flight that was flying into Washington to Reagan National Airport in Washington, D.C., that came in from Wichita. And there are 60 people on board the plane. There were 4 crew members on board the plane. There were 3 military crew members on the helicopter. That's 67 people, all of whom have passed away, have perished as a result of this. I happened to get home last night at about 9 o'clock. I had picked up something to eat on the way home. I was excited to eat it. I don't remember what it was at this point. But I sat down. I happened to turn on the TV. The channel was set to CNN. And all of a sudden, here's a breaking news report from my hometown talking about this tragedy that had just happened. My thoughts and prayers and condolences and my heart is broken for the people that lost their lives last night when they thought they were about to land at D.C. Reagan. Instead, they're gone. I cannot imagine the feelings of the people who were at Reagan Airport waiting to pick up their friends, family, kids, acquaintances, whoever, coming in from Wichita. And I can't imagine the process that American Airlines had to go through to notify those people that that plane had just crashed. So, you know, you may have thought you had a bad day yesterday, but boy, something like this certainly puts it into perspective. And my heart goes out to those folks. God bless all of these families. I was a 19-year-old missionary for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints assigned to Kansas many years ago. And I spent time in Topeka and Manhattan and Kansas City, but I didn't spend any time in Wichita other than just visiting it a couple of times. That is where, and unless things have changed over the decades, that's where the Lear jets are manufactured, is Wichita, Kansas. That's one of the things they're known for. But my heart goes out to these wonderful Midwestern, God-fearing, humble people who look out for their neighbors and simply live a really good life as a general rule and are concerned about their neighborhoods. And that's just the kind of impression that I have of people in Kansas. I do a family NCAA March Madness pool every year that gets about 30 people participating in it. And I actually won my own pool a couple of years ago. And that's because I decided to pick the University of Kansas out of Lawrence, Kansas, to win the whole thing. And sure enough, they did. And I was thrilled. So Kansas is close to my heart. I've lived there. I've spent time there. I have friends from there. And my heart just goes out to anybody involved in this horrible accident that happened last night. I am not one who... And I got to tell you my own perspective, too. When they showed the video last night of the helicopter basically on a steady course that just looks like it just ran straight into the plane as the plane is approaching to land at Reagan National Airport, you know, you have all kinds of guesses on what was going on and what happened that was not supposed to happen and what didn't happen that was supposed to happen. I mean, who knows? But I did a post on Facebook last night, maybe at around 10 p.m. or 10:30 p.m. I Googled how long can you survive in 35-degree water, which is basically the temperature of the Potomac River, and the answer to that is 1 to 1.5 hours. So I knew that 2 hours after the midair collision, which would have been around 10:45 or so p.m. last night, that the chance of there being any survivors was pretty minimally low, sad enough to say. Hearts go out and great appreciation goes out to the first responders and the divers and people that I think had volunteered their boats to go out there to try to help and everything. You know, there's nothing that brings a community together faster than a tragedy, unfortunately, but it does bring people together rather quickly. And I was spellbound last night to the TV news to just hear about this. The last time we had something like this happen was somewhere around 40 years ago, back in the 80s, I believe it was. I think it was an Air Florida jet that went down in the winter, ice on the wings, crossed over the 14th Street Bridge and then landed in the Potomac River. And I still remember the comments about a gentleman who kept helping others get out of the water, and then he himself died from exposure. But it's been quite a while. I did not know until last night that I think it's runway number 1 at Reagan National Airport was reported as the busiest single runway in the country. I know it's a busy place because I have watched the planes line up in the sky and come in and land at that airport. And I love to go to Gravelly Point, which is a park on the directly north of the airport where you can go out and sit down at a picnic table and watch the planes land if they're coming in from the north, and you can also watch them take off. When those planes come in, they're only a few hundred feet over your head. And it's a marvelous thing to watch, you know, up close and personal. You just don't get that close to commercial jets in the air in most airports. You just can't do it. But you can do it at Gravelly Point, just north of Reagan National Airport. And I'm just sick. I'm sick for the people involved, the people that lost their lives, the families and friends, relatives that now have to deal with that loss. And I cannot fathom how you would do that. I have a very good friend who is a fairly high executive with American Airlines. I texted his wife last night and said, hey, just tell my buddy I'm thinking about him tonight, and I hope everything goes well. Anyway, we will know more as time goes on. We'll know more about the tragedy, and we'll know more about the details of it. I do want to make a couple of quick comments, which normally I have not done. I think I've done this radio show on the BBS radio network now for, let's say, a year and a half, maybe something like that. And I've been very non-existent when it comes to political comments and political stuff. But I do have to say something about some comments that were made today at the presidential news conference, just because, you know, we all have to be honest with ourselves, and we have the right to say what we want to do as long as we don't put somebody else in danger, right? So let me just make a couple of comments real quick. Let me back up one step real quick too. There are three factors that I looked at last night when I tried to assess, are there going to be any survivors? And there was a report early on last night, somewhere between 9 and 10 o'clock, I think, one of the news stations mentioned that four people had been pulled from the water that were survivors. I don't know where that came from. That is erroneous. I guess they learned out later that that was erroneous. But, gosh, I can't imagine how anybody could survive this. If you look at the video, there are three things that are working against you if you're trying to survive. Number one, two massive explosions happened midair. You've seen the videos where when the helicopter collided with the jet. I think that killed everybody on board right then. I can't imagine how anybody could survive a midair explosion, two of them, back to back at that point. But suppose you were fortunate enough to survive that. You're now on an airplane that is crashing and heading 300 feet straight down into the Potomac River. That descent and impact from 300 feet can very well kill you on its own if you survive the explosion. If number one and number two didn't end your life, then the 35-degree temperature of the water will within an hour to an hour and a half. And those are monstrous odds to overcome to come out of this thing safely. And when I just looked at it as a novice, you know, viewer last night, and they were talking 3 and 4 and 5 hours after the accident about, you know, we're still looking for survivors, that's the right way to approach it, because that's the optimistic way to approach it. And if my family or friends were on those flights, and maybe some of them were for all I know, I would want it to be done that way as well. But realistically, the odds are not in your favor that you're going to survive that thing. And now it's been reported that there are no survivors. So I'm going to take a break for a second. Then I'm going to come back and comment about the president's comments about this real quick and just give you a little bit of, you know, something I don't normally do, but I think it needs to be said today. And because I'm here and I'm, you know, listening to this and seeing it, and it's in my hometown and stuff like that, it's on everybody's mind. It's certainly on my mind. We'll take a quick break. I'll be back in about a minute, and then we'll continue with the Junk Refund Show here on the BBS Radio Network.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Welcome back to the Junk Refund Show. I'm your host, Alan Cook, coming to you from Rockville, Maryland, in the parking lot of Roy Rogers Restaurant, because I just bought my lunch there. I haven't eaten it yet, but I've got it here in the truck, and I am literally 30 feet from the Metro Railroad track. You might be able to hear that train going by right now. That is the subway system that runs from basically Gaithersburg, Maryland, down to Washington, D.C., and then all over the metropolitan area. So you'll hear a train going by every once in a while, but this was a convenient place to pull over and do a radio show. I got to tell you, it is a great time in life. It's a great time in the history of the world, is really what I meant to say, to do a radio show. If you have a phone, you can have a radio show. You know, there's people out there, there's a law firm out there that advertises, if you have a phone, you have a lawyer. Well, good point. If you have a phone, you can do a radio show from a Roy Rogers parking lot, from a cruise ship, from your apartment, from a driveway of a customer that you're working at. That's the very first show I did on the BBS Radio TV network. I did from the cab of a box truck sitting in the driveway of a home in Potomac, Maryland that our guys were cleaning out as I did the show. You can do it from wherever, and it's just a wonderful thing to do. Anyway, I want to get back to President Trump's comments in his news conference earlier today regarding the tragedy. The first thing I want to say is that the first half or maybe two-thirds of that news conference was brilliant. I think it was prepared remarks. He expressed his condolences to everybody, talked about how we're going to get to the bottom of this, etc. Talked about how this is a national tragedy and all of us around the country are there for the families and we are there for you. It could not have been said any better by any president than the way President Trump said it. And he even talked about God, and I can't remember the specifics that he said, but he brought God into the conversation and basically encouraged us to rally around it. Then for some reason, I'm going to call it arrogance, that news conference started to go south and started to take a nosedive. Because what he did was he turned it into a political commentary opportunity to discuss some of the policies of the Biden administration and the Obama administration and some of their FAA hiring situations. And it now became a political commentary that tried to make him look like he's doing a better job than they did. That is blatantly wrong. And this was when he went off on his own. These were not prepared remarks. I'm quite confident that's the case. And he used this news conference as an opportunity to share his quasi-educated opinions about what should have been done. He basically blamed the disaster on air traffic controllers that are not geniuses or talented, and basically blamed it on the administration, the prior administrations, and some of their hiring situations. It was about as ignorant a series of comments as I've ever heard an American president make in the 36 years or so that I've lived in Washington, D.C. And I've seen administrations come and go. And I have been with people who said, oh my gosh, if Obama wins, we're all going to be socialists and it's going to end our country. And I've been with people who had the opposite opinion and said, you know, thank God Donald Trump's been elected. he's our new savior. You know, whatever. You get a lot of very polarized emotional opinions about this. And far be it from me, you know, a mere mortal, to tell a president of the United States what he should or shouldn't do. But in this case, this is a tragedy in all caps for at least 67 families, and probably double or triple that when you factor in relatives and in-laws and all of that stuff. This is an absolute disaster for those people. And when you come on and make comments about it, the last thing in the world you should do is to start bringing in other administrations and make it a political speech. And in my opinion, that's what he did. And in my opinion, he owes a public apology to the 67 families that are involved in this tragedy for turning their tragedy into a political stump speech for him. That is flat out wrong. And I don't care what political party you're from, and I don't care, you know, what your policies are. When you're in the position that you're in, like he is, and any president would be in this situation, the last thing you do is use a tragedy of epic proportion like this and start to use it as your takeoff point to justify your own policies and point fingers at prior presidents. That has absolutely nothing to do with the tragedy. And when he comes out and acts like he has the facts and he knows what should have been, you know, that this could have been avoided, he has no idea if this could have been avoided. He's not in the air traffic control, you know, center. He's not one of the pilots. He wasn't sitting there in the Black Hawk helicopter watching what happened. So stop acting like you're a know-it-all and that you have all the answers, which you don't. And why don't you just end your speech after the prepared remarks, which again were brilliant, and then let people who are a lot smarter than you, who work in this industry and have training in this industry, do their jobs, find out what went wrong, let them report it to us, and you keep your focus on these families that have suffered this tragedy, and you do everything you can as their president to make that suffering as minimal as possible. But for heaven's sakes, don't use their tragedy, and a tragedy for everybody. You know, we're all family in this country, which I think he mentioned in his the first part of his speech. We're all related in some way. We're all brothers and sisters, right? And we all care about each other. So end your speech there, but don't go on and start to act like you know how it could have been avoided and start to indirectly blame air traffic controllers, the hiring policies of prior administrations or whatever, for this situation. That was just blatantly wrong. And I, you know, I have to go to bed tonight knowing that I did my best to make my voice heard and that I said what I thought was important. And, you know, most people don't have a radio show, but I do. So it's an outlet where I can tell people what I think. And if you have an, you know, if you have an opinion on this, I invite you to call us and we'll be happy to talk to you about it. 888-627-6008. Again, 888-627-6008. But the focus right now is on the tragedy and the loss of 67 families. And that trumps everything, no pun intended. And this is not the time for political speeches or comparisons between your administration and theirs. There you go. So let it be written, so let it be done, as they said in the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston many years ago. All right, this brings me on to some other, a little more, you know, I was going to say down to earth, but that's not a good thing to say right now because of this implication. Let me just tell you a few junk removal things now, having gotten that off my chest. And I got to tell you, it felt good to say that because it needed to be said. I was in San Francisco about a month ago, flew out there to do a job for a lady. I was going to talk about this on last week's show, and I just ran out of time. But I want to talk about this week's show because there's a kind of a couple of lessons to be learned. This is a really nice lady who found our company on the internet. And when I explained that I can fly across the country for about $30 and I can stay in hotels for free because I'm a member of Wyndham Resorts Hotels Diamond Class, which I think is their highest level that they have, I stay for free in hotels. So that's kind of easy. So I go around the I can travel around the country and compete with any local junk removal guys without charging anybody for any travel. So I went out to San Francisco about a month ago. The flight was $31. I go through Denver because I'm on Frontier Airlines, and I buy their Go Wild Pass every year, which is $600. Except, and this will be my third year starting in May. It runs from May through the end of April. They did a brilliant thing about a month and a half ago. They came out and said, okay, all you Go Wild Pass holders, if you want to renew your 2025 membership, you can do it early for half price. And I went, fabulous. So I went in and paid $299 and renewed my pass for what will be year three that will start May 1st of 2025 and run through April 30th of 2026. And what that gives me is the right to fly free for a year on their airline. All I do is pay the airport taxes, which in the United States tend to run somewhere between about $15 and $30 to go from a short flight, like from D.C. to Atlanta. I can fly there for $16 nonstop. And I can fly from D.C. to Portland, Oregon with a stop in Denver for $25. It also is good internationally. You can go down into Latin America, a bunch of other places that they service, and they're always adding new cities and stuff. The taxes are more with foreign airports, but the airfares are incredible. So I paid $30, flew out to San Francisco, and it was really cool. This, you know, I've told people on this show before that there's never been a better time in the history of the world to be alive than right now. Because what I did was about a month ago, I worked, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and my flight to Denver was at 6 o'clock Wednesday night. That's when it was supposed to leave. And it usually does leave on time. But this particular night, it was 2 hours delayed. It didn't leave till 8 o'clock. So it gets me into Denver, and now I'm worried about making the connection from Denver onto San Francisco, which was supposed to happen that night, and I would arrive in San Francisco at about 12:30 in the morning. Now, I'm one of these strange guys that says, hey, no problem, I can do that, and I don't need a hotel because I'm going to rent a pickup truck at about 8 o'clock in the morning and drive only about 15 minutes from the airport, and I will be at this lady's apartment. So I'm going to spend 7 hours in the San Francisco airport sleeping on a bench or the floor or a couch or whatever I can find that's in that airport. It turns out they have some very nice covered benches along the walls, like mini couches almost, that you can sleep on, and it works great. So when I land in Denver, this is a little bit tense because they told me by text that I was going to miss the connection, and then they gave me a link and said, here, you can check this link to, you know, find other flights. And I went, oh, crap, I had this all planned out. The lady's expecting me at 9 in the morning. But I literally, as I'm getting ready to leave Washington, I grab my phone, I go on the Frontier app, flyfrontier.com. I look for other ways to get to San Francisco later that night, and lo and behold, there's a flight that left at 10:30 from Denver, as opposed to a 9:45 flight on to San Francisco, which I was going to miss. There's a flight at 10:30 that goes to Las Vegas. You spend a few hours in the Vegas airport, and at about 5 in the morning, you board a plane there, and it takes you to San Francisco, and you arrive in San Francisco at 7 a.m. So that works, too. So I went in and bought that fare. That fare from Denver was $26 through Las Vegas up to San Francisco. That gets me there anyway. So I'm covered, right? And I bought myself 45 minutes of time. So we land in Denver at about 9:45. They let those of us with connections get off the plane first. I can look through the right side of the airplane's windows, and I see the plane next to me at gate 81. I'm landing at gate 80. Gate 81 is the plane going to Las Vegas, and there are a boatload of people already on that plane. And so I dash off down some mobile, you know, exit ramps that they have, go into the terminal, turn right, go 30 feet. I buzz my phone and to check in for the next flight to Las Vegas. I go right on, and as I'm walking, and so then I'm going, thank heavens this is going to work. So as I'm walking out to plane number two, there is a lady from Frontier Airlines outside talking to people saying, anybody going to San Francisco? Anybody go? And I went, oh, crap. I could get on that flight. I didn't miss it, contrary to what they told me. But now I'm about to board another airplane. And so I went over to her and I said, hey, I rebooked myself to go through Vegas onto San Francisco in the morning. Should I just get on this flight or should I get on the one going there right now? And she said, no, get on the flight you just booked. That's fine. Get on that flight. So I thought, okay, I will. So I did. And I flew to Vegas and I spent a few hours there in the airport. And I got up to San Francisco at about 7 o'clock in the morning. And I rented the nice pickup truck, Dodge Ram, which I drive at home all the time. And at 9 o'clock, I go to this lady's apartment. Now, that's the lead into the story. But for those of you that don't mind, you know, spending a night in an airport and, you know, and love to save money getting around the country, check into Frontier's Go Wild Pass. I drove to this lady's place. She lives on the 8th floor of an apartment complex. Never met her, of course, before. And I go up to the door, ring the doorbell. I'm by myself, which is fine because I've done a lot of these jobs by myself. With, you know, you can get a lot done with energy and adrenaline. But I go up to the door, I ring the doorbell, and a lady who is probably 350 pounds answers the door, and her apartment smells like she has like 20 cats in there. She doesn't. She has one or two. But it is cat heaven. It is, you know, cat something else for me because I see what those cats do to people's furniture because I haul it out of their places all the time. And it just smelled horribly. But here is this really nice lady that I've just flown across the country and arranged, you know, to get to her. And it worked. And I'm on time. And I'm going to take a break here for a minute. And I'm going to come back and tell you the rest of the story like Paul Harvey used to say on his show. And you'll enjoy this because it was not what I expected. But it's a typical thing that happens in the life of a junk removal guy who goes around the country just trying to help people. I'm Alan Cook. I'm your host of the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back here on the BBS Radio Network in just a minute. We'll take a break, and I'll be back in about 1 minute for the last segment of the show.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Thank you to Don Newsom, who is the voice of these breaks. He is the founder and producer of our show. He's a founder of the BBS Network with his brother Doug. Those guys are twins. They sound exactly alike. They've been in radio a long time, and they're really good at what they do. So we're proud to have them doing our voiceovers for us on these breaks. They do a great job. A month ago, I show up at an apartment in San Francisco. I'm there to haul away some stuff for this lady. I kind of did her a favor. I usually don't go out of town unless it's like a $1,000 job or more, because if I just stay home, that's probably what I'll make if I just stay in the D.C. area that day. But this lady needed some help. I could tell it on the phone, and I think this was like a $600 or $700 job, something like that. And I decided just to go and help her out. Plus, it gives me a paid, you know, trip to San Francisco. So I'm there at the door. She's got 20 black bags of stuff piled up in front of her TV. She's got a lot of mess in the place, but that's okay. That's kind of normal for a lot of people. So we started with the bags. So I load all the bags up, and I don't know where the dump is, but I found out it's only about 5 miles from where I was. And sometimes these dumps have minimum costs of $200 just to pull a pickup truck in. Other times it's $10, you know. This one was $60. I went, okay, I can live with that. So I went in and I dumped the truck and I came back. And when I came back, I went to open the door on the 8th floor of this apartment complex. And she immediately says, be careful. Don't open the door too quick. I've fallen. Now, if you're 350 pounds, the words I've fallen are not what you want to have happen to you every day. She had fallen down right behind the door. I carefully opened the door, stepped in, and here is my new friend lying on her back with a bloody face that looks like somebody just broke her nose. And she said, I fell. I hit my mouth. She looked like she had a tooth that someone had just punched out of line with the other teeth. There's a pile of blood about the size of a softball on the floor in the front room. And she's 350 pounds. She cannot get up. And I mean, how do you prepare for that, right? Now, I've lifted a lot of heavy things before. I've loaded a number of riding lawnmowers into the back of a pickup truck by myself. No ramps, okay? I mean, I've lifted a lot of stuff. And I'm an optimistic guy. And all of a sudden, she said, when this has happened in the past, I just call 911. And I went, oh my gosh, where's my EMT training when I need it, right? So I said, well, don't call them yet. Let me try to see if I can get you back up on your feet. Put your feet up against this wall. And when I lift you up from behind, just use the wall to steady yourself. Well, that was optimism gone awry, because as I put my arms under her shoulders and started to pick her up a little bit, she pushed against the wall with her feet. And that 350-pound body fell back against me. There was nothing bracing me from behind. And so now my bottom half of my body is now covered by the top half of her body, and I'm underneath a 350-pound woman. And, oh, crap, this just got twice as worse, right? Well, I got myself loose, swung my right leg over her head, and got myself back up. And I said, wait a minute, just instead of calling 911, let me, you know, there are people coming in and out of this apartment complex all the time. I went downstairs. Or I said, there are a couple of guys that looks like landscaping guys that were downstairs when I was just there. Let me see if I can get them, and the three of us can probably make this work for you. Hold on just a second. Well, I went downstairs, and the two landscaping guys were gone. But a young, stout resident of the building was just coming in the apartment complex. I grabbed him. I said, hey, can you come help me? I told him the situation. He said, sure. The two of us go back upstairs. He takes under her right arm. I take under her left arm. And the two of us barely got her back up onto her feet. And she has an electric reclining chair there that she'll use to sit in. And we got her into that chair. I said, are you okay? You know, there's, like I said, a pile of blood the size of a softball on her front room floor. And she says, yes, I'm just tired. And at that point, I realized that my day just changed. Because it's not about getting stuff out of her apartment now. It's about her and what she wants to do for the rest of this day. And she looks like she just lost a really aggressive barroom brawl. And she couldn't roll over onto her knees to help herself get up because her knees are so bad. Because those knees are supporting, let's just say, 250 pounds of extra weight every step she takes. And those hips and those knees are, you know, their time is limited. And my heart just went out to her. She's such a nice lady. But that obesity that she's dealing with was killing her. And she, this has happened before. She calls 911. They come over. They get her back up on her feet. And off she goes on her merry way. The most pleasant, you know, upbeat, kind individual. But boy, if you weigh about 350 and you fall down, that is not a good position to be in. And suddenly that was the position I was in. I ended up, because I was already in the apartment and she had some furniture that needed to go, I said, hey, let me take this. I said, do you want me to do another pickup truck load? I was planning to do about, you know, 6 to 8 of those in the day. But she goes, no, I just want to rest. And I went, that sounds good to me. I said, I'll make another trip back out. That's okay. She ended up giving me some extra money just to compensate me for the loss of the day that I was now not going to be able to make anything, you know, and it, of course, wasn't my fault, but she was really kind. And I all of a sudden had some extra time available. I was in downtown San Francisco. I went out to, I can't remember the first name of the beach now. It's just south of the Golden Gate Bridge. I went out to that beach and walked around out there a little bit, got some lunch. I went to Fisherman's Wharf, and I went to Ghirardelli Chocolates, and I bought some chocolates for some young missionaries I was going to speak to the next day back in Washington. They loved that when I came back with Ghirardelli Chocolates for about 60 of them. So that was a blast. I went back to the airport. I caught the 9 o'clock flight. I went back to Denver. I slept in the Denver airport till about 6 in the morning, caught the flight back to D.C., and was in D.C., landing at Reagan National Airport, probably from the south, just like these folks were trying to do last night. And I was back at about 11 o'clock in the morning the next day. Now, I said the next day. I meant the day after. So my point is, you can leave Washington, D.C. at 6 p.m. at night, fly all the way across the country, spend the next day at work, fly back, and you've only missed half a day of work when you get back. You work all day Wednesday, you fly out at 6, you get to San Francisco about 12:30 in the morning, you go to work at 8 or 9 in the morning, you can work an entire day, you catch the 9 o'clock flight coming back, and the whole transportation thing across the country is about $60. The rental truck was about $100 altogether, and everything else is gravy. Now, you couldn't do that back in the 1800s, right? You couldn't do it in the 1900s. And for most people, you can't do it now for the cost that I do it for, but that gives you a little sense of what my life is like. That brings me to item number 4 on today's show, Clifton, New Jersey. I went up there a number of months ago, helped a guy do some stuff. That one I could just drive to. It's about 3.5 to 4 hours north. It's about 10 miles west of Manhattan and Broadway and et cetera. So when I was up there maybe 2 months ago, I caught the Harry Potter play. I went up in the morning. Got there about 9 in the morning. Helped this guy clear out a house, did 3 or 4 runs with a pickup truck, went and caught the play that night, and somewhere around 10 o'clock at night, took off to come back home, got home about 2 in the morning, and I spent the day working in Clifton, New Jersey. Well, he liked what I did and wants me back. The plan was to be doing this radio show from the freeway as I was driving up to New Jersey. They have a 95% chance of rain tomorrow. He's concerned about that. He said, any chance you could do it on Monday instead? I said, yeah, I can. I'll leave it up to you. I am waiting to hear back from him. And I may be heading up as soon as the show's over. I may be heading to New Jersey to do some work for him tomorrow, which I'm happy to do. Or I'll stay here and I'll drive up Sunday afternoon, do the work up there on Monday, and come back Monday night. So that's my up-to-date, you know, notice of what I'm doing now. Shout out to a lady that I went and saw last night in Tacoma Park, Maryland. who for the last 6 years has taken care of her husband at home who has dementia. They have decided, the lady pretty much has decided, to move to a smaller home. She's lived in this home in Tacoma Park for 4 years. She is an absolute gem of a person. No, not 4 years, 40 years. She's got three levels in her home. And as any normal person would do over 40 years, she has more stuff in her home than she's going to need at her new place. So after doing some work yesterday, I went over and saw her at 6 o'clock, 6:30 or so last night, went through and did kind of a walkthrough of what she needs done. Basically was a job that a lot of the companies, based on the number of truckloads of stuff that she's going to have, there are companies in this area that would have charged her $4,000, something like that, to do this or more. And based on the amount that was there, it was kind of like a $2,800 job for us, but she's already one of our customers, so I give people 10% off if they're kind of a repeat customer. And if they pay for the job in advance, they get another 10% off. Well, that's like $500 or $600 off of $2,800, so it becomes a $2,200 job. And given the situation she's in and the great work she does for her husband, I just said last night, look, if you want it, you don't have to pay in advance for a job, but if you do, you get some extra savings. I said, if you just want to write me a check for $2,000, then over the next month or so, we'll come over and do what needs to be done and get this stuff out of here and work with you on your time schedule, et cetera. So she did. And as a small business owner, you know, it's a fun thing in the junk removal business when somebody gives you a check for a couple $1,000 and you drive home having worked all day, you know, doing scrap metal jobs. We pick up scrap metal for free in the Washington, D.C. area because we get paid for it when we take it into the scrap metal yard. We don't get a lot. You only get about 5 cents a pound for it. So you got to put 1,000 pounds in the back of your truck to make $50. But when we do these jobs, there's always people giving away washers and dryers and refrigerators and freezers and stereos and exercise equipment and ellipticals and, you know, treadmills and whatever. There's a lot of metal out there that people have that they don't have the facilities to get rid of. They need somebody to get rid of it. They just want to give it away for free. So we will go out and pick it up. We will recycle it, take it to the scrap metal yards. They'll give us some cash for it. But I had a great idea yesterday. I thought, you know, every one of these people that I go and do this for, I'm going to give them a business card. I'm going to say, you know what, because you're now one of our clients, if you want us to haul away anything else right now that's not metal, just regular junk removal, we'll do it for half price because we're already here. And I wish I would have thought of that like years ago, but I just thought of it yesterday. So I take out my business card and I just write on it, you know, $100, one pickup truck junk removal, and then I sign my initials. And I think that's going to be a great move. I think that's a good idea because you'll get, you know, on a day where I don't have anything already set up to do, I can go on Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and I can see a ready-made list of metal objects that people need to get rid of and want to get rid of for free if someone will just come pick them up. And I can communicate with them, and I can suddenly have a day full of work going on. I'm not going to make a lot of money doing it. I'm going to run around, but I will pick up, you know, 5 to 10 new customers. And those customers will talk. And I'm doing them a favor by coming to their place and hauling away something for free that they don't have to pay for. So yesterday, I'm down in Falls Church, Virginia, suburb of Washington, D.C., and I'm going down there to pick up, you know, something from somebody. Let's just say I'm going down to pick up a barbecue that this guy had in his complex outside of his back door, and he also had a couple of lawn chairs, we'll call them, metal lawn chairs, and he said, yeah, you can take those too. So I'm going down to pick up a barbecue and some lawn chairs. And on the way back from there, I'm driving on this street in Northern Virginia, and I pass a child's stroller that is folded up and is sitting out on the curb by the mailbox. And those strollers are mostly metal. And I drove past it, and I had the thought, you know what, you should go back and pick that up. I mean, you could throw that in the back of your truck, and it's more metal, and you'll make, I mean, why not, right? Well, I had that thought a couple of times. I actually drove past it. I thought, well, I might as well. I turned around. I went back. I went up to the lady's door, gave her my card. she just, I didn't just go back and pick it up. I went to her door and said, hey, is it okay if I take this? It looks like you're just trying to get rid of it. And I do scrap metal for free. And she said, yeah, that's great. And then she says, can you haul away my husband's metal gym that he just disassembled and is sitting in the back of that pickup truck right there in the driveway? And she says, can you take the weights too? And I went, well, yeah, sure. All I got in the back of the truck right now is a barbecue, and I've got room for it, and I'm headed to go pick up an elliptical from a guy in Great Falls, a small elliptical. So, yeah, I got room. Well, she sends out her two teenage boys, and they hand me the stuff out of the pickup truck. I throw it into my truck. All of a sudden, I've got three quarters of a truck of metal filled up that's heavy, and that's what you want. And so I told her about the deal as well, and she, the whole time that she was talking to me at the door, is cradling next to her chest a six-week-old baby. And I'm going, lady, you got my respect. I mean, hats off to you. And she looked at my card. She understood what I was doing. She goes, this is so great. And I pointed to her child, and I said, that is what is so great. And then her two boys came out, and we loaded up the truck, and I went on to job number three. Another happy customer gave her the card, and oh, by the way, I picked up a bunch of metal that I cashed in this morning at the scrap metal yard, and that was not on my schedule, but I just happened to see it. So sometimes it pays to just observe what's going on around you, follow your eyes, and, you know, if you got an empty truck and you're there to pick up metal and there's a fridge on the side of the road, why not pick it up? I mean, yeah, why not, you know? In this case, it was a curb stroller, and it worked out well. I want to talk about, just in the last minute here, the radio vouchers that we do. If you are listening to this show and you're in the Washington, D.C. area, you should call our producer, Don, and give him your name and number. You won't be on the show. You'll just give him your name and number. He will then email it to me after the show, and I will send you a link that allows you to buy a pickup truck load of junk removal that's normally $229 for only $79. That is the lowest price we make available to anybody for what we're doing. And it's a special deal available only on this show, a radio voucher, but it's a great deal. And you can buy a couple of them, and you can use them at the same time and get a pickup truck of junk removed that's normally $229. You can do it for $79, and that is what you call a screaming deal. So there's a little plug for the radio vouchers. The number you call, 888-627-6008, and Don Newsom, the producer, will answer your call, give him the information. He'll send it to me. I will then contact you and make the link available to you, and you can save almost $200 a pickup truck of junk removal, and you can thank us later. So we've run out of time. Just a reminder, in your thoughts and prayers, remember those 67 people whose lives were ended last night tragically in the airline helicopter crash just south of Reagan National Airport. And just remember them. Ask God to bless their families. Do what you can from your standpoint. And we wish all of you the very best. And I think along that same line, I think tonight there is a concert by a bunch of famous artists being done. I think it's called Fire Aid, and it's being done to raise money for the victims of the fires in Los Angeles. So I guess when you see these kind of things happening, you count your blessings that you're still alive, and you make your life as great and as adventurous and as fun as possible. Because I'm here to tell you, you get one shot at this, and when your shot is over, it's over, and you can't go back and do something again. So make your life successful and fun and adventurous. Make yourself happy. You have the right to be happy, and we're here to help you do it from a junk removal standpoint and from a life standpoint, where we not only teach you each week how to get the junk out of your homes, but also how to get it out of your lives. And we're grateful and happy to do that. Thanks for listening to the Junk Refund Show this week. We'll see you next week, 3 o'clock Thursday Eastern Time. Have a great week. And I'm your host, Alan Cook, signing off. And I'm either headed to go pick up more scrap metal in the Washington, D.C. area, or I'm going to hop on the freeway and head to Clifton, New Jersey, my fate for the next 24 hours is in someone else's hands. I'll let you know next week what happened. Thanks a lot, folks. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.